Super great. Guys, we have two more storytellers tonight. This next person coming up, I'm very excited about. She told me not to say anything nice about her when I introduced her. Guess what? Tough shit. I'm gonna. In 2014, this lady did like all of our shows, and then she moved to Florida. What the fuck? But she's back in Chicago for a week. This is her first night back. She decided to do this show because she's great. She catalogs people's family histories for a living, so if you want to know about your family history, you want to record it, go talk to this lady. Or if you have a bad relationship with your dad, don't talk to her. That's cool. Either way, please welcome Natasha Sam Rainey.
Every fucking time. Tough shit. Tough shit.
Okay. And during the break, you're like, everything you say is so nice.
It is. Well, because like everything Eric says, like no matter what he says, it's with a smile. So you're like, did you just insult me? Should I be crying or smiling?
You'll never know.
I never know. I love going this late in the show because I just had an Irish whiskey and everyone's really funny. So everything's super giggly. Right? Y'all are the best. Oh my God, Mary Beth, don't laugh. No, please laugh. I know! Okay, it's so warm. Did you just piss yourself? Please say yes, because I think I might. Okay, just kidding. So I don't like play video games a lot, so I always like try and be like, multiplayer, what does that mean in life? Not always, but for this instance. Already, but so multiplayer in life, that's my theme, hey. Okay, so I'm just gonna do this. So I don't remember exactly how it happened anymore. I feel like memory is a funny thing. But for this story, that might sort of be ironic. I remember my grandma sitting uncomfortably in her lazy boy, her head in her hands, sobbing. I just took it way down, right? Sorry. She was weeping, but it was the most unweeping of sounds. It wasn't heavy, it wasn't deep, but undeniably real and sad. Like her vocal cords had wound up for a long, hard, slow pitch down the center, but at the last minute, the pitcher's inner eye caught a memory glimpse of some of yesterday's heartbreak and tripped it into a curveball. Grandma was delicate. She was like a breaking doll with thinning hair, folded over her favorite chair. Grandma. We'd heard her calls from a different area of the house almost simultaneously, me, my mom, and my dad, and we hurried in as fast as the furniture traffic through the hallway would allow. There she was, on her chair. Help! Help! Grandma, what happened? A lifetime of cigarettes had grated her once operatic soprano vocal cords into the voice of a hungry peep, of an urgent baby bird. I was at my parents' in their three-story mansion to me. Yeah. We'd all gotten used to picking out her voice amid the chores and TV sounds of the day. She was mostly aware, but dementia and failing health was slowly taking over. Grandma, what happened? More tears than answer. And then a small trail of human shit? I know, on the hardwood floor. Her organs were failing. We went to work. This was automation, compassionate mechanics. Less asking, more doing, because how did this happen was not helpful, not to grandma, not to us. No one had an answer. She didn't know. So when I was a kid, we moved a lot. We were military brats. I loved it. By the time I was 12, we had been to like 20 countries. People usually ask me, well, what was your favorite place? You know, like, if you could pick, like, what was the best one? I can't pick. I know that sounds totally cliche, but I can't because my parents made every place like a wonderland. Ask questions, talk to people, taste the food, play with the other kids. Those were our rules. That was it. One of my favorite Panama memories is running down the black volcanic beaches with my three sisters. Okay, so if this makes sense, we were all negatives of ourselves. Brown body, sun-bleached hair. My dad parked the 80s van near close to the nearest bohio. It's like a little straw hut on the beach. and we all helped carry coolers of ice water, cheese, 5 pounds of mangoes we bought for a dollar from some man on the street. It was the 80s in Central America. Everything was a dollar. 4 little girls in bathing suits and tans down the row. My mom tied up our hair or took it down. However, we had to have it at that moment, Mom. Bangs, ponytails, barrettes, braids, pieces of girlhood floated around the car like AWOL Cheetos, batteries, and Barbie shoes. All over the floor. Hair up, towels off, but plenty of neon zinc. You guys remember zinc? Yeah. And our brown little bikini bellies. We look like a bunch of Care Bear vigilantes. Like for reals. All lined up in front of our rebel commandant for gear reassignment. Water wings? Check. Frisbee? Check. Baby diaper that's gonna fall off in the water anyways? But at least with no preceding poop stains? Double, triple, quadruple check. Everybody had a job. We threw off our cover-ups and launched our flip-flops as far as our little Cabbage Patch arms could throw. And then, with our sun-widened eyes squinting over our fluorescent noses, we stared down the fastest route through the black, angry volcano sand to the water. This was midday at the equator. That bitch was hot. We had to sprint. Ready, set, go! Our parents launched us into action, running, wheeling, tumbling, tripping, losing all and any of the toys we totally had to have for this beach trip. Beach Barbie can swim, right, Mom? Ninja Turtles can float? They were everywhere. The sea was ours, and we were it, ripping the extras and plastic away from our naive little bodies, shredding raw, at this point practically naked and free, for the next 2 hours in the ocean. Time was so cryptic in a child's mind. You didn't understand things in minutes or hours, days or years. All we knew was that we were. It was a different war against time that we were fighting. I remember the first time that I actually recognized exhaustion in my parents' eyes. My grandma's 90-year-old body was on the decline. And I didn't think it was fair that they were never actually going to retire from taking care of somebody. My dad was on his hands and knees, cleaning up the shit from her floor while I bathed my grandma in the shower. My grandma was always against taking a shower, and she would yell at you and fight you. And by the end of the shower, she would hold your face in her hands and say, "You are my favorite person." She had already forgotten how much she didn't want that. Her temperament rode the roller coaster of confusion, chronic, darkening, white spider web dementia. Some days were lighter than others, but most were darker by the end. My mom washed the towels in the laundry room next door. Empty nesters, they were full-time caretakers 20 years in. This second childhood reminded us eerily of the cloth diapers my mom used to shake out with 4 little girls when we were still babies. But now they needed help. They were entering retirement in their 60s. My mom's new blood pressure machine, watched permanently by the kitchen table, Lipitor migraines and cracking knees, were awaking from decades of military air jumps, battlefield runs, and unapologetic ground training. It was my turn to anticipate missing them. When did my dad's gray sideburns go postal? Daily dinner table conversations huddled around doctor's visits, which daughter was definitely not stable enough to take over if one of us were to go into a coma. Wills, when that day comes, their humor was getting darker. And I found myself arguing, "Oh my God, Dad, how could you want my little sister to wipe your ass more than me? When did she become your favorite daughter?" I never thought I would fight for that. Parents aren't supposed to bury their kids. But how come we're supposed to be okay with the alternative? The author Michael Cunningham of The Hours wrote, "This is what we do. This is what people do. We stay alive for each other." I guess that just has to be enough for now. with all of our moves, all of our changes, the unanswered questions. My parents found a way to answer us and life the best way they knew how. With integrity, strength, but mostly with honesty and a strong sense of humor. My mom finished mopping the bedroom floor. The towels were drying, and Grandma was lying tucked in her bed with something mellow on TV, probably Jerry Springer or BET. Her favorites. Where the hell is that smell coming from? My mom asked my dad. Tasha, did you change her diaper? Yeah. Diaper? Check. Nightgown? Check. Fingernails? Shit. Literally, shit. You remember when you were a kid and you'd take a shower or get ready for bed and your mom would make you, like, clean your whole face and don't forget your ears? Behind your ears? Apparently, fingernails are the new ears. There is no protocol for what to do when you find tiny bits of fecal relic tucked into the every spaces of a fading 92-year-old woman's nail beds. My dad's face transformed into some version of Edward Hyde. Protocol? The only way I can describe it is what they did when 20 years earlier they'd found my baby sister in her crib covered in Vaseline that she had gotten a hold of. In her hair, on the walls, up her nose, and in spaces they never knew existed. They stopped, took a breath, shook their heads, laughed, and started cleaning. That's it. Thanks, guys.
If you like Natasha, and I hope that you did, she produces a show in Chicago still, even though she's in Florida, called All of the Fields. It's this Tuesday at North Bar at 8 p.m., and it is an all-Latino lineup this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So check that out Tuesday, everybody.